flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back to the Second Guest Show, a special edition of the Second Guest Show. It's our Super Bowl edition. Mike to tell you, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, we're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Got a big group here to this afternoon, so come on by and visit us. Again, we'll be here till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Bob, I know you got a few more statisticals you want to give out.
This shows you how Louisiana is always relevant. You know, per capita, ain't no more pro players. Mississippi's right there with us. It shows you, just shows you the deep south. Look at Jalen Daniels. Okay, now, you might say, well, Bobby, he played at LSU, got a Louisiana connection. But when you look at NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year, Mike, I thought this was significant. And, Bo Nix with Sean Payton, he did a fine job. And what he was able to do, he was third in the voting. But all of a sudden, LSU receiver Brian Thomas with the Jaguars, Malik Nabers of the Giants, they were fourth and fifth. So LSU connection, three out of the top five, a rookie of the year. So I think we damn relevant. There ain't nobody relevant there.
Think about the Deep South. I know damn well Bo Nix, he didn't grow up in New Oregon. He grew up in Alabama. Now, Brock Bowers went to Georgia. He's a California guy.
Yeah.
But he did play college football at Georgia. But to think about, all those guys have a Southern connection, one way or another.
Hell yeah. And you look at Jaden Daniels. Mike, you went to my domination. He received 49 out of the 50 first place votes. The one vote went to Brock Bowers, but he got 49 out of 50. You don't think Jaden Daniels had an impact?
Come on. Be somebody from Vegas. And I love Brock, but come on, Jaden deserves it.
Oh, no, and you look at Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams, what they've done in the NFL, can't hold Jaden Daniels' jock. Now, I don't know. I think he's going to have success in the future with the Bears. The Bears, to me, could be a playoff team. And Mike, you'd be trying to place a bet in the future.
You can do it. I got to see it to believe it.
I think the Bears could be the 2025 version of the Commanders in 2024. As far as they come from the outhouse to the penthouse and be playoff relevant. I'm telling you, watch Dennis Allen left the Saints. He's going to be an awesome defensive coordinator with the Bears. Watch.
Okay, look at the NFC North. You got a very good Packers team, a very good Lions team.
A lot of competition in
the Vikings now. We'll see what happens at quarterback, because I think that is a little iffy of what if basically Sam Darnold comes back or not. But they really like J.J. McCarthy quite a bit. Bob, that is difficult for the Bears. I'm just telling you, I understand where you're coming from. But to work your way through all of that, that's a lot of heavy traffic.
Well,
in the NFC North. Yeah, the South, I mean.
Yeah, NFC South. If you look at, the Bears and where they're at, their offensive line that all comes into play. Caleb Williams, you know what you have to do? You have to, Tom Brady talked about this. I was watching this interview. You know what young quarterbacks don't know what to do? They don't know. They all freak out like when people are blitzing and it's a cover zero.
Yep.
Cover zero. You can't block everyone. The ball got to come out. So that's where he has to take that next step And he said, the way we play football today, that, boy, it's a rude awakening. You got these talented quarterbacks, and they can't handle NFL defenses. So that's what you have to be able to do. And you, and just look at Joe Burrow. I mean, with Joe Burrow, you know, he won NFL Comeback Player of the Year. You know who won NFL Comeback Player of the Year in 1991?
You did.
Me. I beat out Bernie Kosar because I held out. It don't matter if you hurt or how you come back from adversity. I beat out Bernie Kosar. So you look at Joe Burrow and what he did. How can he be the NFL Comeback of the Player of the Year? He's elite. No, he was hurt. What he was doing. You look at Joe Burrow, what he was able to do, NFL Comeback Player of the Year, had that wrist surgery. He led the NFL right at 5,000 yards passing, 43 touchdown passes, and you know what he did? He was hurt, but he wasn't hurt this year. He played all 17 games.
Somebody better break a checkbook out and pay Jamar Chase. That's all I can tell you.
Well, Mike, didn't they play Jamar Chase? They got to play, what's his name? They paid Jamar Chase, but they got to play.
No, they ain't paid Jamar.
They ain't played. Well,
no, they paid Justin Jefferson in Minnesota, but they didn't pay Jamar Chase.
They got to pay Jamar Chase.
I don't know about T. Higgins. Able to do that.
Okay, if I'm looking from a Saints perspective, who would be better as a number one? Because you need a 1-2 punch. You need a number one. You need a number two receiver. T. Higgins, wouldn't you say he'd be a number one receiver for the Saints?
He'd be a number one for the Saints. Not for every team, but for the Saints, he would.
Okay, who's our number one for the Saints right now?
Well, it would be Olave.
What?
Olave today.
Do you think T. Higgins, you think Chris Olave is better than T. Higgins? I don't.
No. I think T. Higgins is a better player.
To me, when I look at Chris Olave, I want more an alpha dog, like bigger. I just don't look Chris Olave in that realm. He's like, Mike, who's the receiver we had that we drafted number one that played with a bunch of teams?
Brandon Cooks.
He's a better version of Brandon Cooks.
That I agree. Cooks has lasted a long time in this league.
Yes, you're an NFL player. I'm not saying you're not a top NFL player, but are you an alpha? Are you an alpha? I just don't view Chris Olave like that. He could start for a number of teams as number two guy. But I think like a T. Higgins, number two in Cincinnati.
T is going to cash in big time.
He's better than a Chris Olave.
T is going to cash in, but Jamar, come on. Mike Brown, he has got to pay Jamar Chase.
But the Bengals are cheap.
But Bobby could have done it for cheaper than what he's got to pay him today. Coming off that season, you know what he's going to ask for? It's going to be more than what he did a year ago at this time.
The Bengals organization, you know,
they did pay Joe. I will give him credit.
You got to pay Joe Burrow, the freaking quarterback. But I look at the
but
Bengals.
But Vince didn't think that or anybody else.
No, and the Brown family, the Bengals, they're like Hugh Coverhouse and Art Modell.
Yeah.
Well, this ain't the 1990s and stuff. No, that's why.
No, with the collective bargaining, he can't say, well, I'm not getting the money. Okay?
No.
Getting the income outside of that particular realm. But he's one of 32.
Well,
he's getting the same amount of money off the TV and everything else that everybody else is.
Well, listen, I'm a capitalist, but the NFL is socialism. Whether you come out first or 32, they spread the wealth.
Yep.
And look at the draft, how you get to pick to try and be relevant. So that's good. I think it gives hopes to cities. All that my team might look at the Redskins. Look at the Commanders. How all of a sudden how they became relevant. But that's why the Saints. You look at they try and throw you a bone, and what is going to take? You would think the measuring stick. How can you get the double digit wins? I don't know. But Derek Carr, can we go from 5 wins to 10 wins? I think we're more like 8-9 or 9-8. Now, I think Derek Carr, now Spencer Rattler, he's trying to win a freaking game. Can I win one game? Now, right or wrong, the quarterbacks judged by did you win the game or lose it. They don't look at the supporting cast. So Spencer Rattler needs to continue to grow. But the Saints, to get to the postseason, and you would think it'd be guaranteed. To me, if you're a Seahawks fan, you should not be bitching. They got the 10 wins and then make the postseason. What?
Rookie head coach.
If you get to 10 wins, no matter what team you are, you're trending in the right direction. So any NFL team, that be the Saints or whoever, what are you hoping for? Okay, it's baby steps. You got to, like, try. Okay, we want to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, everybody wants to win the freaking Super Bowl. But you got to get in the postseason. Win your division so you can host the game. The poster child in the NFC South is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Look what Tampa Bay has done. Do we realistically think Tampa Bay was going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl?
No.
No. But at least they were relevant. That's where you're trying to get. If you're the Saints, if you're off the blank in Atlanta, come on, look how Atlanta has missed the playoffs. The Panthers, whoever you are.
And they spent a lot of money
right.
on it. They thought the final piece was Kirk Cousins. It didn't work out.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins, you know why Kirk Cousins is going to still play? Because there are 32 teams, and there's not 32 quarterbacks. That's why you can still have a job and get highly compensated. Oh, we overpaid Derek Carr. We don't overpay Derek Carr. So they might say, like, oh, he makes too much damn money. Derek Carr is like 15, 16, 17 in the whole league. That's the freaking market. There's not enough quarterbacks, I'm telling you.
A guy that you think about when he's going to end it, and you're going to look at his finances, what he's made throughout his career. Kirk Cousins may overpass everybody.
Oh, no. Whoever his agent is, if I'm a future player.
They did one hell of a job on him.
You need to hire Kirk Cousins' agent.
Because what happened in Washington, and he bet on himself throughout that time frame, and then he signed
the franchise tag and all that.
Then he signed the biggest contract ever given to a quarterback when he goes to the Minnesota.
And especially, Mike, what made that was the guaranteed upfront money.
Right.
That's, it's not the NBA or Major League Baseball. You got to look at the NFL. You know, just because you signed this unbelievable deal, what is guaranteed?
Then Kirk, he buys a subdivision in Minneapolis. Yeah. Not a house.
Yeah.
He's got a subdivision. And then, you know, they say, well, I don't know if we can pay you.
Why
but Arthur Blank and the Falcons paid him.
Well, why would you buy a subdivision in Minneapolis? In Minnesota, it's too damn cold.
the summers are nice.
Summer, but not the winter. I mean, I'd go buy a damn subdivision in Florida. The taxes or maybe South Texas or something. Minnesota.
But
the Vikings treated him right. So.
And so he's going to get paid, guess what, one more time, at least by somebody else.
There's not enough quarterbacks. There's not enough quarterbacks. That's why he'll get another opportunity. You know who still is going to get an opportunity? Look at the stability of Andy Dalton like a player coach. Look at the Red Rocket. The fiery redhead. His hair is so red, it's orange. I mean, look at that guy. Andy Dalton, he's still playing? Why is Joe Flacco still playing? Ain't no young cats can beat them out because they bring stability. Well, they know what the hell they doing.
At the end of the season, somebody asked Andy about playing another season. He says, I know I have to. Every time I walk in my house and all the kids run up to me. Because Andy got quite a number of kids at the house.
Yeah, yeah.
I get it with Andy.
I don't know. These quarterbacks, a lot of them make like five or six kids. But they have the resources to support them, so that's a good thing.
We'll be back with more of a special edition of the second guest show, our Super Bowl edition, right here on the Big 870 WWL. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside, right here in Hancock County, Mississippi.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to our special edition of the Second Guest Show, our Super Bowl edition. Mike Dottiglia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 4 o'clock this afternoon. Want to tell everybody that Monday we will be back here at the Silver Slipper for our final version of the Second Guest Show for the 2024-2025 season. We'll be back and do a show after the NFL draft, but we will be back here at the Silver Slipper Monday night to kind of wrap up everything NFL-wise and Super Bowl, and we'll have an eventful offseason. I told this to Steve Geller.
Yep.
Man, our offseason going to be more eventful than the in season because with the coaching changes,
I think Bob, they'll
have a lot of changes personnel-wise. Also, want to kind of tip the cap here a little bit to Justin Jefferson. Right now, he's out signing autographs, taking pictures, military families at the USAA Lounge, at the Super Bowl experience at the Morial Convention Center. Him, along with Jaden Daniels. And I know Justin has a number of family members that were in the military. And him and Jaden are providing Super Bowl tickets to military families.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, you hear a lot of bad things sometimes about, you know, players and everything. But what Justin Jefferson, Jaden Daniels do, this is on their spare time to go out and appreciate, because Jaden also has...
Well, you got to give back.
Give back to the community.
You're highly rewarded, so you got to give back. And, Mike, all your analogy of all these players, I don't think they've ever had that Louisiana or LSU influence as far as receivers. You look at Ja'Marr Chase.
Not in my lifetime.
Justin Jefferson, Brian Thomas, Malik Nabers. Like, I don't think we've ever had that.
At that level, no way.
No, it's like the best of the best. You have to talk about LSU, Louisiana. I mean, the bottom line is we talk about, and everyone's intrigued with the receiver. You know, and then he kind of started because he was on the big stage, Odell Beckham with the Giants and the catch and all, playing with the New York Giants in the Big Apple, and you make that type of play.
And if then you had to cut a better check, Devontae Smith would have been there too.
Right.
But the NIL was in there before.
But look at that Louisiana connection.
Big time Louisiana connection.
The whole thing. So, Mike, when you look at that, that's why I look at LSU. The past decade plus, you remember all about because Honey Badger and all DBU. We wide receiver you. I mean, when you think about it, the highest level in the NFL, and why wouldn't you want to play wide receiver for LSU? Look at all these cats and what they've done. No, they're the best of the best. It's not like they just making a team. Or are they just starting off or trying to contribute?
So why would two of the best three NIL players, one from Kentucky, one from Oklahoma, where do they end up in the offseason? They signed with LSU.
Well, that makes sense.
So you get it.
Yeah.
I mean, that they get that part. And
now we just got to get LSU's defense better.
I do know one thing. If you're getting players, I know Bo Davis can coach a defensive lineman.
Right.
That part he'll do. I'm really interested in what they do with Perkins, him coming back for another season, exactly how they use him.
And live
him
up to his potential.
Because he's a bit of a hybrid player. He's a great athlete, but what position?
Well, Mike, he hasn't excelled like R&T, whatever. You look at, like, top LSU defensive players, and, you know, you could be an NFL starter, or you could contribute, but Harold Perkins, the sky was the limit. How he came out like a flash in the pan, but he's kind of been, he can be an NFL player. But it's like, is LSU utilizing him right? Are they taking advantage of his ability?
I would use him as a sort of hybrid weak side linebacker, strong safety. Because that's how he's built. He's not going to be a 230-something player. He's always going to be in that 220 range. It's just the way he's built. So he's not going to be this guy that's going to be able to take a heavy load when they're running the football right at him.
Well, and you look who's been more productive. You know who's been more productive? One of those Weeks boys. You know, the tackle machine. We would expect that made from Harold Perkins, right?
Right.
You know who was disrespected, Mike? And I'm telling you, should be a Hall of Famer. And you know, talk about who's in the Hall of Fame or not. Linebacker Luke Kuechly.
No, he got the middle finger thrown to him this
Luke
time.
Luke Kuechly. I'm like, who's voting on
so,
this?
Yeah, exactly. That's my comment. You can debate all the other guys you want. Luke Kuechly not getting in, that's shameful.
Well, he's first ballot. If he's not first ballot, okay, I can tell Eli Manning and all that. But Luke Kuechly, he didn't play, only played 8 years, you know, like 7 or 8 years. Look at Gale Sayers.
Terrell Davis.
Jim Brown. They didn't milk it till the end. Luke Kuechly, all I know is Drew Brees said they had to change all their singles when they were playing Luke Kuechly. He was so damn smart. He knew the play was coming before. He knows exactly what we're doing. And so Luke Kuechly, I don't know how he cannot be a Pro Football Hall of Famer.
Okay, think about it. Next year, I think, no doubt, Drew will get in.
And yeah,
I
first
think
ballot.
Kuechly gets in.
He has
the two
to.
Guys that sort of have squared off twice a year against one another. Bob, this is just coming down, but talking about LSU. Ben Simmons, the three-time All-Star.
Wait, going with the Clippers or something?
He is going to sign with the L.A. Clippers after clearing waivers.
Well, he's been stealing money like when you think about it, look at B.I. B.I. is now going to the Raptors. And then, Zion and all that. No, Ben Simmons, the talent coming out of Australia for the LSU.
One year.
Yeah. And then, he has that skill set. He's so talented. But what about his heart? How can you measure his heart? So now the Clippers are hoping to have some kind of upside. But you think the Clippers are going to represent the NBA West?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
But, no, he has that kind of ability. The one thing, as skilled as he is, I mean, it's amazing his shot hasn't been better. Because you can improve your shot. You look at the mailman, Karl Malone of Louisiana
Tech. You got to work at it.
And what he did. How he would go down low, but all of a sudden he got better. That mid-range jump and all that. That's what you have to do. You have to be better just shooting the basketball. Because you are playing basketball. And you got to put it through the cylinder. Ben Simmons, I like to check his heart. He's probably been given too much at a young age.
And he's never gotten over that.
No. That's what's wrong. You want to know what's wrong with American basketball, how we got ours Europeans? It's the damn AAU circuit. They treat these kids when they're 12, 13, 14 years old like they're already pros. And they will probably be pros when they have that ability. But they're prima donnas before they're prima donnas, if that makes sense.
And mom and dad got to do a good job with you.
Yeah. Mom and dad
got to do a really good job to have you understand this is your work ethic. God graced you with talent, but your work ethic's got to always be in place.
On the court, you look at John Morant, you can look at all of them. And I'm telling you, that's what's wrong with the NBA. I think they're going to have to adjust they might have to have a rule. You only can make so many three-point plays in a game or something. You can't just be all jacking up.
I don't know how you change that.
You can change the rule. Look, in baseball, they change the rule. You can't scratch your butt or whatever. You're in the batter's box. You got to go up and get ready to hit the ball and swing. Or the pitcher.
But the three-point shot.
And all of a sudden, they made it like 25, 30 minutes later. Look at this young society.
They tried to speed up.
Yes.
I get that part.
No, everybody's just jacking it up. Everybody's going to be a three-point shooter. Everybody's not Steph Curry. Now, you can maybe hit the three-pointer, but I think you got to go back to where maybe a little more physicality and down in the box, in the lane. I think fans would appreciate that more. I mean, I'm just telling you, the NBA's trying to look at the future ratings and all that. I mean, and just the skill set of a European player, that's a travesty. They have an advantage over an American basketball player because the fundamentals of the game.
But AAU's
the worst thing that has happened. And I was involved in AAU with my kid and all that.
Go to an AAU tournament today. What are they doing? They jacking up threes.
No, they're jacking up threes, and then they worry about where they're going to go to school and how much you're going to pay me when they're 14 years old.
So I don't know how you're going to break from that. It's going to be difficult.
I had my youngest one, Bo, who ended up now lives in St. Louis, and they won the state championship in Georgia at Great Atlanta Christian. He played with Malcolm Brogdon, NBA Rookie of the Year. Malcolm Brogdon. You remember Mike with the Pacers and all that? And Malcolm Brogdon, he's been well compensated. So I look at the whole AU circuit, and I look at that. Bo was on a team called Atlanta Celtics and all that. He's the only white boy, but he can shoot three-pointers. So I don't think they were ranked like ninth in the nation and all that. But I was watching how they play. Man, ain't no damn fundamentals. It's all freelancing and all that. So they put Bo in the game, and somebody's playing a zone so he could spot up and, like, jack up, like, three-pointers. They ain't teaching you how to...
They setting you up to take a three-point shot.
Yeah,
that's what they setting
not
up.
Attacking you, and how are you going to run, you know, like Bobby Knight? You going to run a fluid offense?
Them days we might not see quite again, Bob. We'll be back with more Second Guess live right here from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this break. We're back here on the Second Guest Show, our Super Bowl edition of the Second Guest Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Y'all hear Grant. He's always here. You got perfect attendance. He got everything checked off today. So, Grant, just remember we'll be back Monday and telling everybody. Bobby and I will finish it off here on Second Guest for the 2024 and early 2025 season here this coming Monday, 4 to 8 right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app.
And, you know, Mike, I wanted to bring up because everyone else got, you know, because it's ever since it's been as of late, oh, everything's a damn conspiracy. Whether it's politics or sports, all the fixes on and all that. I'm going to tell you, the NFL would send their players to rehab. They wouldn't even care if they're all doing cocaine. We got to rehab them. But you cannot ever be a perception that the games are fixed. It has to be on the up and up. There's too much money involved in gambling. So people think, oh, the NFL's for the Chiefs. Okay, let me tell you why the NFL is not for the Chiefs. Now you might say, well, Bobby, you can play devil's advocate. Like a significant call, it seems like it goes in the Chiefs' favor. Okay, I can understand that. But that was happening way back with Joe Montana. We had Drew Brees at quarterback. We were playing the 49ers one time. Drew Brees got the crap knocked out of him. It was like a good hit to me. And he fumbled. And they go, no, personal foul.
Holy he man. Walked right into the guy. And you and I saw it. He walks right into the guy.
And we end up winning the game.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Thank God we had Drew Brees because that helped us. But if you look at it, when you talk about penalties, okay, like I said, a handful of high-profile calls in the playoffs have gone in the Chiefs' favor. I'm not going to dispute that. And have fueled all the favoritism towards the Chiefs. You look at Houston getting penalized, the two illegal hits on Mahomes in the divisional round. And then Josh Allen being ruled just short of converting on a 4th-and-1, that 32-29 victory KC over Buffalo in the AFC Championship game. But if you look deeper in all the penalties, you have to look at all the penalties that are called. They show no signs of systemic bias as far as the Chiefs. Bobby, what are you talking about? I'm going to tell you. The Chiefs have been penalized more than they've been penalized for 120 more yards than their opponents in the season. They've been penalized 120 more yards than their opponent in the regular season and the playoffs since the start of going back to 2022. So when you say, oh, the Chiefs get all the calls. No, they've been penalized more. This is a big sample size, two seasons. Counting the regular season, postseason, they've been penalized more than their opponents. So the NFL ain't cheating. You might not want the Chiefs to win because you want to change. I don't want a three-peat and all that. All I know is, as Americans, we don't need to be jealous about a winner. Why you get so? Listen, we kicked the British's behind the American Revolution. We winners. So why you get so winner? Now, I guarantee if the Saints were like the Patriots...
You wouldn't hear a peep about it.
No, but if the Saints were like the Patriots or the Chiefs in the 21st century, people would be hating us.
Yeah.
Oh, I want somebody else to win.
Well, you wouldn't hear it from
you. I'm tired of the damn Chiefs. I'm tired of the Chiefs. I do not like the Chiefs. All I know is Arrowhead Stadium is a great atmosphere. In the Midwest, their fans are really not obnoxious. So if they three-peat, just look at it and get to view history. That they three-peated. I think the Eagles are going to beat them. But when you say the NFL is cheating for the Chiefs, you got to slow your roll. You got to investigate. You got to investigate what's actually happened, and that's not the case. So you might not like the Chiefs, and you're tired of them winning. You want somebody else to win. Well, now, you talk about cheating. Have the Chiefs or Pat Mahomes or Andy Reid, have they been accused of cheating like Tom Brady or Belichick? No. Remember Spygate, the footballs and all that? The Chiefs have never been accused of that, but people still hate them. People in general, you know why? We need to embrace winners. Why are we hating against winners? What, because you're miserable in your life? Just be happy for a winner. Don't be jealous.
Okay, the Inflategate stuff, come on. That was put up too. Come on, you've talked about it. We've had kickers talk about it. To fool with a football.
You still got to throw it.
You still got to throw it.
The best football to throw. No, they just hating on Tom Brady, a pretty boy. And now I heard people even hating on Pat Mahomes because the way he talks, like Kermit the Frog. So what? That's his voice. I mean, who cares? I mean, all I know, he can play. I know he's a stud. I mean, I don't know. People find everything to nitpick. Hey, Bear, I don't like your accent or your attitude, whatever. Well, go screw yourself. I mean, you know.
Well, tell them how you really feel about it then.
Come on. You got to move on. We should want to be associated with winners. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, you did.
If the Chiefs three-peat, don't hate. Don't be a hater just to be a hater.
You don't think in the 60s people were saying that about the Celtics in basketball
and the Packers in football? Without a doubt. My dad, listen, I always loved the Packers. Listen, my dad, I told you this story, Mike. My dad would always say, well, I hope the Saints win. LSU has to win. Now he'd be biased towards LSU. But you know why he liked the Packers? Man, my dad never been up to Lambeau Field, been up to Green Bay. Because they had an LSU player, Jimmy Taylor. Yep. My dad would cheer for NFL teams who ever had the most LSU players. The Patriots at one time had 7 or 8 LSU players. Remember Kevin Falk and all that?
Marquise Hill was there. Kinchin was there.
I'm telling my dad, why you like the Patriots?
Kevin Falk.
They got all them LSU players. I like that a lot. So that's why the bottom line. Listen.
Look to hate now for the Dodgers.
The Dodgers. Hey, I don't know.
Even though they just won this one.
Well, they're buying their team. Don't the Yankees always try and buy their team, too? I don't know. I'm a capitalist. Aren't y'all capitalists? I don't know. And if that's you or your kid, don't you want to be compensated the most? I don't care if you're Japanese or whatever. I mean, I think we're a global society. If you could play, you could play. You'd be compensated at the highest level. That's the market. Who's against the market? Don't be against the market. Look at Donald Trump. He's trying to make the Middle East into the Riviera. He looks at that as a developer. He don't understand those people don't want to leave there. Come on. In Palestine, that's where we ain't leaving. Them people ain't don't want to leave, but Trump ain't looking like that. He's looking at that as a developer. We can have the Riviera in the Middle East.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm going off on a tangent, but I'm just telling you what's happening.
We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're finishing up here at our number two of a special edition of the Second Guess Show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Want to remind everybody, Bobby and I will be back here at the Silver Slipper this coming Monday for our last 2024, early 2025 show. We'll be back right after
second
the draft.
Guess, so we could be second guest the Super Bowl and Andy Reid, our coach, and what the Eagles are doing.
And I think in real quick fashion, the Saints will have their coach sometime midweek with Kellen Moore.
Yeah,
I think that's the worst kept secret around, but whatever.
Well, the worst kept secret, the worst case scenario would be Kellen Moore would be like, you know what, I think I might stay in Philly. Hell no, don't stay because then that might be a lot of controversy with the Saints.
I think he wants, Bob, if you read between the lines with him, he wants to become a head coach.
Right, he's only 36 years old.
You can read it in his words. He's telling you without telling you, I really want to run my own team.
Yeah, really wants to run his own team. And, Mike, who would be, like, comparable? You might say, oh, he's too young. You got to let him pay his dues more.
Sean McVay was real young, too.
Sean McVay, that's what I was saying. So that's why you could still go that route. And, you know, I can tell you even when
I know
I was
one
playing,
thing, Nick Sirianni ain't no old dude either.
No, Mike, and you know, I never forget playing with the Saints. You know, I played till I was 37. And then all of a sudden, you're playing on a team, and then you figure out, man, I'm older than two or three coaches. And so I never forget when Coach Moore, I had J.L. Moore, you know, helping out Dom Capers with the defensive backs. I go, damn, I'm 3 years older than him. He's a coach. You know, but if it's all about if you know what you're doing, it doesn't matter. You can have a lot of wisdom at a young age. You look at Alexander the Great, how he conquered the world. Here's an 18, 21-year-old, and he's called Alexander the Great, not for nothing, because what he was able to accomplish. So it's just that individual mindset and that opportunity, and do you take advantage of it? Look at the Rams and where they're at, Mike, and how relevant they are.
Bobby passed away today. He's not that much older than us, Dick Geron. Long-time defensive coordinator.
With the Bears, right?
Man, I remember Dick Geron playing as a safety with the Detroit Lions.
I think he was only in the 70s.
Early 70s.
I think he was 74 or something like that.
Man, Dick Geron was a tremendous coach.
Oh, you know what, Mike? I went on the radio yesterday. But you know, I was all excited about how time flies. Bob Marley would have turned 80 yesterday.
Yeah.
Bob Marley.
He also really young age for Bob.
Oh, yeah, with cancer and their ladies. But Bob Marley would have been 80 years old. That's something. He'll be when he's 100, and when he's 200, they'll still be playing Bob Marley in the Wailers.
You've left that legacy.
Yeah, that legacy. It's like Bob Dylan. Go see the Bob Dylan movie. It's pretty damn good. You know, a Nobel Prize winner and all that. You gotta go see that movie.
We'll be